From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He's an outspoken Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and the former deputy editor of the editorial page at the Washington Post. She's an accomplished businesswoman who has helped shape public policy and challenge the status quo. Both are distinguished Howard alum. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guests today are Mr. Colbert I. King and Mrs. Gwendolyn S. King. Welcome to the journey.
Thank you for having us.
Now, as a couple, you've endowed a chair in public policy at Howard University with a $1 million donation, and we've established a lecture series as a result. What was your motivation behind this?
We were very concerned that so many public policy experts were leaving government with nowhere to go. And we thought, what better than to have an endowed chair to offer people a chance to spend some time sharing their government experiences, whether it's state or local or federal government experience, sharing that with the students at Howard University to give them an idea of what it's like to be in public policy positions. And so we just turned to Howard and said, let's do this.
Now, with that in mind, your professional career has been, you know, absolutely fascinating, including joining the U.S. Department of Health, Education and Welfare in 71 as a management intern and becoming a senior health desk officer in 1976. You've been part of the Division of Consumer Complaints as a director in the Department of Housing and Urban Development. With those experiences, what did you find as you were coming through? Because I can imagine there weren't very many African-American women who preceded you.
Well, at HUD, I actually worked for Connie Newman. I don't know if you remember Connie, but she came in as the Assistant Secretary for Consumer and Regulatory Affairs and asked me to run the Office of Consumer Complaints at HUD. It was an interesting journey for me because I really just wanted to have a bit of a part-time job. And the more I stayed in government, the more I got promoted, and the next thing you knew, I was handling more and more responsibility, and so it just sort of grew.
And Mr. King, your journey here at Howard University is one that I've often heard you speak of. Give us a sense, having grown up in Washington, D.C., what coming to Howard University meant to you.
Well, Howard University was a place up on the hill as far as we were concerned. I grew up in the Foggy Bottom area, which is down near the Potomac River, and Howard was up here on the hill. It was a place on the hill. My mother did not attend college. My father did not finish high school. My sister was the first member of the family to attend college, and she preceded me at Howard University by 1 year. My brother came 2 years later. We're all Howard graduates. But what was most important, I think, as far as the Howard experience, is what happened after Howard. A series of positions in government, private sector, and every job I had made me realize how valuable my Howard experience was, because Howard is where I received my grounding. Without that experience, I don't think I would be sitting where I am today. I wouldn't have had all of the positions that are made available to me, but for Howard University.
Now, with that in mind, and getting back to the endowed chair, as you see public policy today in our society, with all of the changes, with all of the discussion that's taking place around race in America, around the Black experience, what role do you see as we go forward with an impending presidential election that having a higher ed institution such as Howard, what role should Howard University be playing in trying to alter that discourse?
Well, I think Howard is uniquely positioned to play a significant role in the coming year and a half, the presidential race. And I say that because Howard is a perfect venue for people who want to express themselves to the American people, to a narrow group, on policy issues. Howard is a place to come to. I think that's one of the reasons I had the chair was to bring to Howard University something that we didn't get enough of as undergraduates. I remember sitting in Douglas Hall with one or two people coming in from the outside to talk to us, but generally what we got was what our professors gave us. They were all excellent, but nothing like having the real world experience of someone coming in from the outside and supplementing what you were learning in the classroom.
Mrs. King, having seen a lot of change in our society in general, what is your perspective about women in government and the role that they must play, and particularly African-American women?
I'm glad you asked that question, Dr. Frederick. I think for African-American women in government, it's still a very lonely place, even today. So for all those who aspire to work in the public sector, I can't imagine a better preparation than learning as much as you can about what some of those African-American women are experiencing or have experienced. And so if they could only come to a place like Howard University and share that information, it might pave the way for some of the students who would like to follow in their path.
Now, along those lines, we talk a lot about the C-suite and CEOs, even presidents of universities, and the fact that we still live in a society and in a time where it's a rare occurrence versus the norm. We rarely talk about the corporate boardroom, where it's probably even more rarefied air, but you have had an extensive experience as a director of Lockheed Martin and a Monsanto company. You served 12 years on the board of Marsh and McLellan companies, served 6 years as director of the National Association of Corporate Directors from 2004 to 2010. What do you think that corporate boardroom does for that experience, especially as you look at governance and, again, paving the way for others to come behind?
I think over those many years, I learned that I did have a perspective to share at the table. I've often said to women, if someone tells you they want to bring diversity to their board and they want you to join it, I've often said, don't do it. Because the minute you put your butt in the chair, you fulfilled every expectation they have of you. But you serve on a board because you're the best chief financial officer. You accept a board position because you know you're the best attorney or the best financial person. And then you bring something to the table and they'll want to hear what you have to say.
You're listening to The Journey. My guests today are Gwendolyn S. King and Colbert I. King. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. You met at Howard. We'd love to have my listeners hear that story to start with.
I met my wife at Howard University in the fall of 1958. I met her across the table, lunch table or dinner table, at the quadrangle where we had the lunchroom then, and she insulted me.
He insulted me. I thought he was so rude.
And I didn't speak to her for 2 years.
And that was my initiative that he didn't speak to me. I avoided him at all costs.
And she also says that since you said 1958, she was here visiting as a toddler.
Yes, that's true. She was a mere child when she came here. But actually, Howard brought us together, and it's no question. We would not be here were it not for Howard University. We owe Howard so much. We can't repay Howard. All we can do is take every opportunity to help in any way we can with our time, our talents, our treasure. But that's our obligation to Howard University. It's been just that much of a factor in our lives.
Right. And as you've spoken about the grounding, and the excellent professors, tell me a little bit about, you know, both of you, the experiences you had specifically that you feel shaped you, that really Howard gave you something that any other institution would not have given you.
Well, I was a political science major, and I had some of the best professors, Emmett Dorsey, Robert Martin, and they really taught government the way it should have been taught. I mean, I say that we learned not only the theory, but the practical application and what we need to learn. And I didn't have that validated, Dr. Frederick, until I was a ROTC summer camp preparing to become an officer. We went to a Fort Meade where we met students from around the country who were also being trained as senior ROTC graduates. Most of them were white. Some of them were also pursuing political science degrees. And we spent time off when we went doing our military chores talking about what we were learning in school. I was so grounded. I was so well prepared. This was my first experience of an interracial nature, because up until that time, I'd been in predominantly African-American educational settings. But suddenly there I was, able to match wits and understanding with these. Howard had me so well prepared. They thought I was the most brilliant person there, and actually I wasn't that great a student. But Howard had prepared me so well for that, and that gave me the confidence I needed, not only during my military time, but also in the public service I've had and in the private sector experience. It was validated.
And what about you, Mrs. King?
Similar experience. I came to Howard University, and because of the scores based on some of the testing for freshmen, I was placed in something called the Honors Program. And I had some of the best professors. I remember especially people like Dr. Lorraine Williams and some of the professors that Colby mentioned. But it turns out they required that we had to declare a major. And because I was just so, excited about being at the university, I just looked at my list to see what I had the most credits in, and it turned out to be French. So I declared that I was going to be a French major. But I had some really great French professors. And when Colby and I were first married and I applied for a teaching position in Niagara Falls, I was tested and quizzed before I could get the position. I was hired as a French teacher, and I got to tell you, Howard had me prepared. I think I did a really great job. Came back to Washington, D.C., and got another position as a French teacher. It was one of those moments where you say, thank goodness for Howard University, because this could never have happened if I hadn't come there.
Absolutely.
At one of the lectures we had, there was a young man who was visiting, and we had a White House executive close to President Obama who was the lecturer. And this kid stood up and wanted to ask a question about the operation, function of the brain, something that the president had talked about. This White House executive had no idea what he was talking about, but this kid was a PhD student. Next thing you know, the White House Science Office has invited him in for some time with them. He was talking in a language that nobody else in that room understood, but Howard had this guy talking in a way that the White House Science Office wanted him down there. He went down there and spent some time with him, and I think there's still interaction.
All right, no, excellent. And Mrs. King, as we close, and we continue to bring in a very highly talented African-American female student. We our entering freshman class, like the rest of our undergrad, will have 70% females. What is your advice to that particular demographic in the student body in terms of what you see in the corporate world, public policy, in terms of how they should prepare themselves for the future?
I would say pay attention to everything, not just the things that you think you're interested in, but open up to new experiences. My experiences on corporate boards have shown me that with an emphasis on what they call STEM technology, the science, the technology, the energy area, math, there's so much to learn. Women, for the most part, have shied away from that area. Many have gone into medicine, but many have just decided not to go the tech route. I'd say don't close that off, because you can find that you use it in whatever you do.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for being here. My guests today have been Gwendolyn S. King and Colbert I. King.
And I have to say that, and I've said this publicly, I'll say it again today for everyone who's listening to hear. When you open the Webster Dictionary, the Howard University version of it, and you look for alumni, you will see a picture of Colbert and Gwendolyn S. King. Please join me next time on The Journey. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.